The Lord be with you, dear heart dwellers. We serve such a wonderful God. He's so amazing. Tonight he's made some beautiful promises that I'm longing to share with you. But first, I need to ask your prayers, and I need to explain a couple situations to you. I want to ask for your prayers for Ray, the elderly woman who was living here that we put up in the front house with the little dogs. You probably remember some of the videos that I did about our trials with her. Anyway, she, I think, had a mini stroke and collapsed and fractured her shoulder and displaced her hip and is now in a nursing home after having surgery. Please pray for her. She doesn't know the Lord, and it may be her time is coming soon. So please lift her up in prayer that she'll receive him. I want to share with you all just how wonderful our God is. He touched me in a wonderful way tonight. But first, I must give you a little background on our situation and the trial that we've been going through almost every day. Tonight, before I came into worship, I was being pelted with all kinds of threats about our housing, that we were going to have to leave and the owners were taking it back, and along with it came a flood of ideas on how we might be able to secure this place. To give you a little history, 13 years ago it was a squat used by heroin addicts, just about in the middle of town, but surrounded by trees and a huge empty field with horses. We found it because we were bringing them food and clothing and blankets and other necessities every week. It had pretty much been gutted and trashed by the homeless who lived in it. The field behind the house was called the Killing Field because so many alcoholics had frozen to death out there. But some of them lived in this house. They rigged, they rigged up a light bulb in the back room to keep themselves warm. Well, they abandoned the house and left town, and we obtained permission to take it over from the owners who were in southern India. And we were going to use it as a mission and a place where we could base taking food out to the poor, because at that time we were living in a little 15-foot Yellowstone camper trailer. Anyway, just around the time the city was going to condemn it and tear it down is when we got it. The front house had some serious problems with the adobe walls in the bathroom deteriorating. And the back house, well, it was being used by the homeless, and the city didn't look on that too well. It actually is two adobe houses on a small piece of land, and in Taos here, which is an international tourist attraction for businessmen and their families from Texas and college students from all over the country. The ski slopes are famous even around the world, and college students come here for wilderness trekking, and most of all, a town is situated at the base of the Rockies and populated by quaint little adobe houses. It's almost like living in Spain or Mexico. And for this reason, it's become a famous retirement and artist community for writers and actors and politicians. So that's a little background on Taos. Oop, I left out the Taos Indian Pueblo, the oldest permanently inhabited dwelling in North America, and the University of Mexico has a campus here as well. So a lot of people retire here. That's a little history. And the Lord planted us in this place. He planted us in this town and then provided this house. It was not our wish to live here. Actually, we wanted to stay on the mountain, but he brought us here, so here we are. When we took over this property, there was a group of kids that they employed, high-risk kids that were employed, called Rocky Mountain Youth Corps. Well, we had them come in and clean it out in the middle of the winter, although the supervisors would not let them come in until I removed all the needles and defecation. It was bad. Really bad. And we filled a long construction site dumpster with all the trash, including a collapsed storage shed, broken windows, and just accumulated garbage from squatters, rotten food and the like. Anyway, we painted, we cleaned, we made improvements, we put in new windows that were handmade with insulated glass to replace all the broken ones. A church had donated those to us. Kitchen counters and bathroom and plumbing fixtures. And finally, when my mother passed away, we used a good portion of our inheritance on enclosing a porch and getting a hot tub and above-ground endless pool that we used because we both have fibromyalgia. This was a gamble, and please don't tell me how foolish I was. Thank you very much. But we felt that someday we could buy this property from the owners who lived in southern India. They left the property sit for 8 years before we got it, and we've been here for 13. We also did extensive landscaping and gravel where there was only dirt and mud, and I mean it was bad. It was dangerous walking across the yard because the mud was so slippery. And we rebuilt their storage shed and have enjoyed this place. It's been just perfect for our needs. We have always sensed very strongly that someday this place would be ours, which was totally by faith because there was no way in the world we could buy it. So the owners, I guess, finally had enough of working in India and showed up about a month ago, being very serious about moving into the front house and retiring. The bathroom had been destroyed by squatters who let the pipes freeze and burst, and the water eroded the adobe walls until they collapsed in the bathroom. So they hired some men to restore the bathroom, and you can see the progress out of one of our windows. Brick by brick, right outside our window, the adobe wall is going up. And while we're happy for them that it'll be restored, along with every brick comes another attack against our faith. Your days are numbered here. You're going to be homeless. Now the brick wall has been finished and the roof is going up. So we've been sanding and staining floors, and, you know, from when Ray lived in there with the dogs, the floor was absolutely ruined, and we felt it was our responsibility to restore it. So we've been sanding and staining the floors and painting it and getting it restored so that the owners would have a nice house to move back into. We also have a sweet little prayer chapel in the front house where we've had many worship gatherings and prayer meetings. Anyway, the Lord has made a significant change in the whole atmosphere of this area. We cleaned all the beer cans and trash from the field where our dogs and cats run and play safely every day in the early evening, minus the coyotes. I get them in before the coyotes come out. No one's dying in that field anymore. We've been praying over it, and the idea of being uprooted from here is just something I can't believe. I just can't fathom it because it feels so right. So we sought the Lord about the looming possibility of losing all we had invested here because the owners turned us down when we asked about buying it. Rather emphatically. Mind you, that question came from faith, certainly not from our bank account. In the past, the Lord has told us that he has something in mind, and we will not be losing this house. Wow. But can you imagine every day we get attacked? You're going to be homeless any day now. So tonight, the attacks were extremely vicious and convincing, and I was starting to collapse inside, guys. I was really starting to lose it. Then the Lord whispered in my ear, "You're under attack. I'm surprised you didn't see this." So I stopped what I was doing and I came into worship, but I was very torn up inside. One side was screaming, "You're going to be homeless any day now," and the other side was saying, "Jesus, I trust in you." Back and forth, like a tug of war. And the Lord just took me and pulled me to himself and embraced me very tightly and held me to his heart, rocking me back and forth. And I looked up at him and tears were rolling down his cheeks. And he said, "You just don't know how much I love you. You just don't have any idea." And I could feel the fire of his love for me and my love for him just exploding from within me. and I glimpsed inside his heart and saw before me an endless ocean of love. And I was given to understand that that ocean was not even the beginning of how much love he has for us, for me and for every sinner on this earth. I told him, Jesus, anything for you. I'll live anywhere for you. I don't want to be attached to any place. I know my home is heaven, but this place is so perfect for us and we're so rooted here. And he replied to me, I know, and that's one reason why you were so greatly loved. He rocked me back and forth gently to Terry McAlmon's song, We Glorify the Lamb. Oh, that's a wonderful song, guys. There's no way you can keep your feet on the ground listening to that song. And I heard him say clearly, you are not going to lose this house. Trust me. Will you trust me? Oh, I took a deep breath, and all I could do through my tears was say, Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Jesus, I truly trust in you. Guys, I couldn't worship anymore. I couldn't stand or sit. I had to go lay down and just gut it out. His love was so profound, so intense, so pure and penetrating. I couldn't stand upright. I just couldn't. I collapsed in bed and he held me until I got up to share this with you. Now, for you who have problems and assign sexual motives to every conceivable occasion, please don't for any moment assign anything to the Lord. He held me like a little child. To the pure, all things are pure. If you're thinking things like that, it's coming from you, not from him or me. So I collapsed in bed and he held me. And I thought about it and I said, I believe in you, Lord, but I have no idea how you're going to accomplish this. Not that I need to know. I've thought about the rapture. Ezekiel and I have discussed the rapture could happen before they move back in. But here he's saying you are not going to lose the house. So that's a little bit different than if he were saying you're going to be raptured before you can lose the house. And I look at the firewood we saved up for the winter and think, what if we have to leave? Where will we go? All I can do is confess, Jesus, I trust in you. So this is the battle Ezekiel and I fight every day, knowing that in a few short weeks, the owners will be moving into the front house unless God intervenes. Then they plan on moving their son into the back house, although they haven't given us notice. They've hinted, and I can see the writing on the wall. These are their plans. Jesus is also written on that wall, you are not going to lose this house. And I have told him time and time again, Lord, I love you. I don't care if we're back in a little 15-foot trailer, as long as we can continue to serve you, as long as our animals are safe and we can still record. Sure, I'd miss the hot tub and the pool, which sometimes I have to use twice a day. But I love him so much. If it were his will, I would embrace it. Heart dwellers, there is nothing in this world, or out of it, for that matter, as exquisite as his love for you. Give him everything he asks of you, because what you will get in return is beyond imagining. He adores you, and nothing means as much to him as your trust in his mercy and goodness. Once you glimpse the inside of his heart, and I know some of you have, you cannot imagine anything bad happening to you. All things contribute to the good, because his love is so broad and deep and high. He would never allow anything in your life that didn't end to your advantage in this life or the next. I don't love him for what he's given us, although that would be easy enough. I love him for who he is. For the beauty of his incomparable soul. Nothing, no one in this world can compare to our God. And he's calling us all into deeper intimacy and knowledge of his love. Oh, how privileged we are in this time in history This is a divine movement of his love, guys. He's calling us deeper and deeper. How blessed we are as a people that God has opened his heart wide and asked for us to come in and inhabit that place. So after I finished writing this, I just said, Lord, please, what do you have for us tonight? And he began, my love is vaster and deeper than any ocean on earth. Truly, it is without end for you, my people. Come. Come to me. Come rest in my heart. Drop what you're doing and come rest in me. I have made a dwelling for you in my heart. It is called heaven. Yet even while you are still pilgrims on earth, I have an antechamber, beautifully adorned with gardens of spices and flowers, clear running waters, culminating in crystal mirrored lakes. This is our trysting place. This is where we share and plan and talk about the issues in your life and the world. This is a place of profound peace and comfort. Yet behind the walls of this chamber, my heart is beating like a mighty locomotive, surging forward, every thrust of the engine loving you more and more. You will come to know this love in heaven, but were I to expose it to you on earth, you would not remain alive. And so I hide it from you. But the effects of this mighty love still permeate your world, shape your heart, and perfect you. So many are ready to beat you into submission to a religious spirit, void of any tenderness or love, stacked high with rules and social customs. But that is the device of men. My way is love. Love so powerful that you cannot resist its attraction. Love so sacrificial that I poured my blood out onto the ground to have you with me forever. Yes, drop by drop, I declared my love for you. Do not wound me with distrust. Rather, confess your trust often. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, how I long to hear those words from you. Jesus, I trust in you. You suffer many things on this earth, but there is no suffering comparable to losing my fellowship. Unless it is the void in your hearts because you've not sought my fellowship. You have nothing to fear from me and everything to gain. I know when you stand and when you sit. I see all your sins clearly, but I dismiss them because I have another vision of you. It is the perfect and complete you, destined for glory. Destined to resemble me in every facet of your being. Not only am I totally dedicated to your good and fulfillment, I also have the tools necessary to accomplish the task. No matter how hopeless you are about yourself, I can still do this with your permission. If I can carve out the Grand Canyon, I can certainly carve out the sin and disorder from your lives and make you gloriously beautiful. Do not withhold anything from me, my children. Give me your all. Give me permission to have your all, and I will do the rest. I have such wonderful plans for you. That were you to sit down and dream for hours and days on end, you would never discover the glorious gifts awaiting you in heaven. I will give you little clues. You know the things you've hidden away in your heart, dreams of what you want someday. That grand piano, that soft furry lion, that mountain retreat, that ocean estate, that ability to fly. The body that is whole and healthy and young, with all your teeth. that exquisite ability to fly and figure skate and ski down mountains, to preach and teach and heal the sick, to rule and reign in righteousness, establishing justice for all men, women, and children. That orchestral choir of angels, that voice that hits all the notes perfectly, those songs that glorify and worship me, and the perfect execution of piano pieces. All and much, much more await you in heaven. So I ask you, merely trust in me. Give me your hearts, your lives, your total and unconditional trust, knowing that everything happens to you for a good reason, because my love for you is beyond comprehension, and there is a sure and important meaning to all the events of your lives. I am in this moment imparting faith and trust to those who will receive it with the innocence of a child. I have so much more for you, but it is all built on the foundation of trust. Receive from me that trust now. It is yours for the taking.